Well, happy Friday, everybody. Darren Saul here, your host of Playing With Perspective, the Suspended Animation Podcast. Hope everybody's had a fantastic week and all ready for the weekend, because I am. I have the lovely Jenna Hamawi here for episode 96. How are you, Gemma?
Good, thank you, Darren. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for joining me on this lovely Friday afternoon.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be a part of your show, Darren.
My pleasure. And for everybody out there, we're going to be chatting about why you should use a specialist broker when looking for funding for your projects. So this is going to be very interesting because I don't know much about this area myself. And I'm looking forward to hearing everything that Jenna has to say about it. So who is Jenna? Jenna is a finance broker specializing in the construction and development funding space. She is the number one authority in helping builders and developers secure the loans they need at the best rate and in the fastest possible time. So welcome, Jenna.
Thanks, Darren.
Now, I mentioned just before we started, I had to compliment you on your chair. Because I just love that chair. And it's actually, it's beautifully color coordinated with what you're wearing as well.
You reckon?
So you mentioned that that chair is a gaming chair. Is that right?
Yes, yes. So my husband actually designed the chair. He wanted to start a business, and then he did get a sample made up, and he decided that it wasn't the best business venture. It was a bit too competitive for him. Awesome. But we got left with a nice chair.
That's cool. I hope you got more than one.
No, this is just the
just
one.
Oh my God. So Jenna, tell us a bit more about you that I might not have covered. Tell us a bit about your background and how you got into what you were doing.
Okay, so I entered the lending sector as a compliance manager. Right. So I had the privilege of working alongside some really highly respected industry brokers who have decades of experience and expertise. It was then in December of 2019 that I made the decision to go out on my own and specialize in commercial finance, more specifically in development finance. It is worth noting, though, that the brokers that I worked with are property developers as well. So I had a major interest in finance and development finance. So it's no surprise that that's what I wanted to come to specialize in.
Okay. And what lured you to that area in particular?
I had a major interest in it. I did have experience in both, specifically.
Okay. Because so you just thought that's the way to go?
Yeah. And I had the experience from working alongside these professionals that have been doing this for decades. Gotcha. So it was really nice and refreshing to go out on my own and have the support of those people as well.
Lovely. And so how long has it been now on your own doing this?
Oh, well, we're in August now, so about 8 months.
Eight months.
Yes, it certainly feels like less with everything that's going on with COVID every day.
Absolutely. But no, that's a great story, and I can't wait to get into learning more about, you know, what makes specialist brokers so special, because, you know, you can get funding from banks, you can get funding from building societies. Do they even have building societies anymore? I don't even know.
They do have building societies. We kind of refer to them as second tier lenders, though. Okay. So non-banks that specialize in different kinds of lending.
Gotcha. So, I mean, why is a specialist broker so special? Why should people go there before they go to banks and building societies and wherever else they go?
Okay, I think I might put it out there with the whole, to begin with, the broker versus the bank, because it's very similar with specialist broker versus bank. When you go to a broker, you're not putting all of your eggs in one basket, and you're actually increasing your negotiation status, and you're not working towards the needs of the lender. Now, when I say that, what I mean is your lifestyle doesn't revolve around a bank's policy. Now, I had a recent client that came to me, and they went to a bank because they've banked with them their entire life. So that was the natural thing for them to do. Now, they came to me because a condition of their approval was that they had to close off their car loan.
Right.
And I go, all right, well, let me see what I can do. I took them to a different lender We were able to keep the car loan for the client, but we also got approval for $160,000 more. Wow. So that really shows you the power behind using a broker and not going towards one bank. The negotiation is really strong for the clients.
Gotcha.
So it's very much the same with the specialist broker. Now, why you should use a specialist broker is because a specialist broker specializes in any loan type that falls outside of a mortgage, like the ordinary mortgage category. Okay. So there is two things that I really like to break it down to. And it's the first of all, expertise.
Yep.
So there's different policies, there's different requirements, prerequisites, documentation, there's different terminologies that we use. These are things only that someone that deals with these transactions ordinarily understands. Okay, there's different rates and offers that are applicable to our clients. Very much so if you go to the doctor because you have diabetes. Okay, you get referred to the endocrinologist because they can help you with your medical requirements. Very much the same.
Gotcha.
A specialist broker is an expert in that tailored loan, so they can meet those objectives.
Perfect.
The second benefit is diversity. Uh-huh. Now, diversity of lenders. So we, first of all, use the banks. And the banks are always a first option because the rates, they're really nice.
Yes.
Okay. But we need 100 to 140% pre-sales.
Whoa.
And that's a lot for this current market. Now, we also have access to second tier lenders. Now, for those of you that don't know what a second tier lender is, that is a non-bank lender. Very much like what you were saying before, the bank society.
Oh, okay.
So that's our second tier. Now, why they're good is because they don't require pre-sales, but they have a maximum that they lend, which was,
With a bank, they say you must have sold so much in pre-sales before we even give you $1.
Yes.
But a second tier lender might not.
Yes. And those percentages change from bank to bank. So that's all falls under each individual bank's policies. Right. Okay. So some are more lenient than others. Some have also implemented if you can achieve 50% and you have the objective of achieving the other 50% of the percent that we need to make up, then we're willing to consider it.
Gotcha.
So there's a little bit of lenience at the moment. And then we go into our private lenders.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they don't require pre-sales and they don't have caps. Like they have caps, but their caps are quite substantial. So at the moment, there is a lot of activity around private. When we're dealing with private, though, it's important to have lenders that you trust.
Gotcha.
It's important to know that they can actually lend the money and they're not going to withdraw.
Right. Yeah. And you have access to all of those.
Yes, that's correct.
That's the beauty about going to a specialist broker is that you are connected and you have experience dealing with all tiers and you know which levers to pull when and to help your client however they need to be serviced.
That's correct. That's why I break it down into two very simple points, expertise and diversity.
I love it. Okay, fantastic. And I mean, you're right. Every time I have to go to get a loan or anything, just thinking about all those different products out there and, you know, the charts with this one's got this, but it doesn't have this. This one has this, but it doesn't have that. Gives me heart failure. I would much rather go to a broker and say, Gemma, can you help me? This is what I'm going to do. What are my options? And you give me two or three, and then we go through those two or three together, and then we work out that's the one to go with.
Exactly.
That's better.
So much.
Absolutely. And so would you find that working in the construction and development area is – does that have a very, very different nuance to, you know, specialist broking in other areas, or is it quite a similar concept?
It's a very similar concept. So when we have, we can have specialist brokers that deal with medical loans, okay, that's called Medico. And again, expertise, diversity of lenders, they're specialist lenders. Again, policies are different, offers are different. There's a lot more lenience around lending to medical professionals because they obviously have a substantial income.
Sure.
It's also the same with agriculture. Okay. There's people that specialize in those transactions because they're not straightforward. They are more complex than an ordinary mortgage transaction. Yeah. And again, policy, 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 okay. policy.
And I can also imagine that sometimes if you do this incorrectly, you might go a month or two down the process and get all this work, and then all of a sudden it gets rejected yep. for some silly little thing because you didn't know which box to tick or which piece exactly. of paperwork that you needed to provide. Whereas if you have a lender, specialist lender or broker, they say, make sure you've got this, this, and this, and then you save yourself a lot of hassles.
Well, there's hassle and then there's your credit as well. Yeah, so true. Your credit is affected every time you apply for a loan.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. Fascinating. So I'm learning about specialist broking in the construction and development field. So now tell us a bit about the market. I mean, you know, it's been a crazy time in the last 5-6 months. How has that affected you, and, you know, how has it affected the industry, and is there anything changing recently?
Okay, it's affected me in a positive way because I've been able to help people. Also, business is shifting. So we're seeing people, they're leaving the banks and they're leaving the second tiers because the bank's policies are tightening up. I have clients approach me and they've been dealing with the same bank for decades, and all of a sudden, no change on the client's end. They're taking the longest time to respond. Wow. And the response is more than likely a no. So then I have people come straight to me and go, I want private money. And I have to do my due diligence and say, well, why do you want to go directly to private? Why have you not considered the bank? Well, this is my experience. Okay, I see. An effect for COVID, one of the second tiers that I use actually decreased their maximum lend by over 50%. So you can see the amount of people that were no longer allowed to borrow and were no longer relevant sure. To their policies.
Absolutely.
And so that caused, again, major shift because they could no longer facilitate a big bulk of their clients. It is important to note, though, now that second tier lender has increased their maximum lend back to the normal mm-hmm. amount. So it'll be interesting to see if the clients will go back to the second tier or if they prefer private lending.
Ah, interesting. And what about first tier? Have they changed a lot of their policies as well? I'm assuming they would have.
They have, but not significantly. The only thing I really see, again, is it just takes a bit longer to get the approval. And these developers usually like the approval, you know, quite fast because they want to get the show on
Absolutely,
the road.
Absolutely, because, you know, time is money, especially when you're dealing with these big, massive projects. Every day, they're losing a lot of money if they don't get this thing up and running.
Of course. And then a couple of other things is just what used to be a yes is no longer a yes. And then I have my clients come to me and they say, but is that me? And I go, it's not you. Mm. Your position hasn't changed significantly. It's just, it's the policies. They are tightening up and it is what it is. Even if we go a little bit into business lending, one of their red flags is construction industry. There is some amendments because of COVID. It doesn't mean that they won't go back to normal. The second tiers have already proven, and we're not 100% out of COVID, to go back to normal. So that's a positive sign. There is just the fact that we do have to take into account pre-sales.
Gotcha.
Okay. Yeah. And the market, it should be increasing now because of the stamp duty exemption. Right. So that should help boost pre-sales. But other than that, people just prefer to go through the no pre-sale route.
Yeah, absolutely. I can imagine. And I mean, what are some of the ways that people can overcome any of these potential obstacles when it comes to, you know, moving as quickly as they can? Obviously, going to a broker in the first place is already number one, first step, because you're already coming to somebody that knows the process, that knows mm-hmm. where to go, maybe has some connections, et cetera, has experience. Anything else that would you suggest people to do to limit the downtime and maximize their approval as fast as possible?
Private. private. If they can't get pre-sales, if they require more than the capped amount in second tier, private is such a fantastic option. So long as we've got all of our ducks in a row, we have all of our documentation, we have our approvals and absolutely everything in place, we can actually get them a loan offer in the same day, and we can get lending up to 200 million. So that really goes to show the power behind it. So private is a good way to overcome obstacles with lending if it's not available through bank at second tier.
Gotcha. Just out of interest, I mean, excuse my ignorance because I'm no expert in this area, but you know how normally you have, you know, pre-approvals and things like that with general, you know, housing and home finance? Is there such a thing in this industry or not really?
Yes, there is. Of course. So you have in the banking world, we call conditional approvals. So that'll be on the conditions of the valuation. Uh-huh. Okay. So ordinarily, when we're dealing with a developer, they'll have their quantity surveyor that they work with.
Right.
So all of their feasibility, their build contract, the value of the land that they've put on is very, very up to standard. The variation between theirs and the banks will be minimal.
Gotcha.
So they're the conditions. The conditions are they have everything, they have their valuations, and then the bank comes in with their valuation, and then they go, okay, it stacks up, we'll lend. And then we move on to the settlement process with them, the conveyancer, and then obviously the lender. It's called a loan offer in the private world. So again, loan offer, then valuation, then settlement, if valuation stacks up, but ordinarily it will.
Perfect. All right. Awesome. So Gina, tell us more about how you work. I mean, how do you generally, what's the process like? Obviously, you know, how long is a piece of string? Every process is going to be different, but generally how do you work and how do you, you know, how do you work with your clients? I'd love everybody to get a bit of an insight into that.
Okay. So I have my first initial point of contact with my clients. So if it's first time, we have to discuss all of their borrowing objectives, obviously. And then we have to go into really big detail about their experience. So every job that they've done in the past.
Wow. Okay.
Because when we're dealing with this kind of development, it goes into a commercial space. So everything is determined based on risk and the experience is risk.
Yeah.
So, yeah, first step, borrowing objectives, experience.
Okay.
If it's a repeat customer, borrowing objectives, and then we just add the latest job onto the experience.
Okay.
Because we're familiar with them. Then we bring them in, right? So at this point, they would have submitted all of the documentation. So in the background, I'm putting everything together. I'm submitting it to the lender, and then the loan offer's coming. Okay. Once the loan offer comes, then the client comes into my office. They sign the loan offer, they pay a small engagement fee,
uh-huh.
and then their upfront cost is a valuation.
Right.
Then we submit the valuation. Once the valuation is submitted, right, we start working with them to get the settlement documents together so that settlement is faster.
Gotcha.
Okay. And then obviously once settlement takes place every month, funds are released and the construction is on the way.
Yeah. Underway.
Yes.
And do you find that, you know, people like to shop around a bit, or generally when they know if they're referred to a specialist broker, they say, all right, let's go. Or they say, I'll come back to you. Or let me just get a couple of other opinions first. What are you generally finding? Yep. They like to shop around.
I would love to say I was the only developer specialist broker, but I'm not. There is a handful of us. It is a smaller community, of course, yeah. not as many as mortgage brokers, but yes, rate shopping is a very large thing.
Yeah.
You know, they will drop you at a click of a finger if someone gets a better rate.
Wow, okay.
But that's a part of the industry. That's how it is. To be fair, though, it's pretty much on par. And if something sounds like it's too good to be true,
it
most likely is.
Yeah.
So you have to be very careful.
Yeah, and this actually brings about a really good discussion. I mean, in general in business, you know, we don't like to compete on purely price or rate,
yes.
because, you know, it's the fastest road to the bottom, to the exactly. who's got the lowest rate. But what advice would you give to people that are looking to partner with a broker? How to choose that broker, maybe even if that broker's not the cheapest? What's the general advice you give on how to choose the right broker?
ask them about their experience, previous developments that they've funded. Yep. Ask them what are the maximum capacities in lending? Mm-hmm. What are the lenders that they deal with? Who's on their panel? Really do your due diligence and just ask. Everyone's happy to have a discussion. No one's shy to expose their experience to you. And more often than not, you know, they love it. They love talking about projects that they've funded because they really enjoy what they do. You know, you might have a client that comes to you and they only want to construct a duplex, and then you're telling them, I do 9 to 13 townhouse projects, small to medium density apartment complexes. And then this client is like, oh, wow, they can certainly fund that duplex for me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just do your research, ask your questions, because everyone's happy to answer them. And you'll be able to determine whether they know what they're talking about in that first conversation.
So really, experience is a big thing. You know, people that have the knowledge and
yes.
the experience and the breadth of working with some of the scale of projects that they need.
Yes.
So you can make sure you ask those questions. And does it ever happen that, you know, everything's running smoothly, the loan is approved, everything's running, and then all of a sudden something happens and you need to get more money? There's some freeze in something.
It does happen.
Oh, we need more money now, we've got to go somewhere else.
There are scenarios where people need top-ups.
Uh-huh.
But these are more so for less experienced builders, okay. less experienced developers. As I said, these guys, they've got experience. They work with their quantity surveyors. Their feasibility is on point. It's very to the T. But people have to keep in mind, especially when we're dealing with smaller projects, if you deviate from that approval, they are out-of-pocket costs. When we're dealing with development, you can get top-ups. You can get second mortgages.
Yeah.
And yeah, but it's important also to keep in mind that you have a very strong exit strategy, because these are shorter term loans. You have to pay them out. So whether you're going to sell the properties or you're going to rent them out or however you intend to repay those funds, you need to make sure that you have the money.
Gotcha.
Now, I mean, 2 years ago now, right, the market was great.
Yep.
And then COVID hit. And that could have been a really bad scenario for someone. Then you can entertain mezzanine finance, which is where you refinance into something
mezzanine
else.
Mezzanine finance, that's a new term. I've never heard of that before.
Yes, so that's mostly in the private world. But you could also refinance into a bank if they're willing to take you on. But that's a scenario where you may have to get a top up. You might have to refinance because of an uncertain time.
Gotcha. Yeah. And what I was getting at is I'm just trying to maybe uncover a little bit of the psychology behind how to choose the right broker, because just because somebody might give you a better rate, it doesn't mean that if some hiccups present themselves along the way, that person might be the best person to look after you to completion. So sometimes I'm thinking, like, I'm trying to give you an opportunity to really sell yourself and tell us, what are some of the other aspects of what a broker does that's more than just price or just rate?
Well, it is the service. It's your connections. It's the lenders you have backing you up.
Yeah,
to be honest, if a client comes to me and their feasibility doesn't seem to stack up, you know, I'm like, that's a bit too cheap. You're not going to... like, these funds aren't enough.
Right.
The lender's going to pick up on that too.
Yep.
But if people start deviating against what they had in the contract and they start buying more expensive materials, then we have a problem. But again, it's based on service.
Yep.
You can identify discrepancies in something, and it is your panel, it's what you have behind you that really is that point of difference. I mean, wouldn't you rather a faster turnaround? Like, I'm telling you, I will get you a loan offer in the same day, so long as you have your ducks in a row.
Yep.
Do you really want to waste 2 weeks with someone that might not get you that loan offer in the same day?
I agree. I'll sign up
for a
right
better
now.
Rate. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So yeah, they're the two main things. I have a very systematic approach to the way that I do things. I always have. I have seniors behind me and in the back works. Awesome. And they have dealt with billions of dollars in this field, and they've been doing this for years and years and years. You know, so I have the share of expertise there with me. These are the people that made the introductions to the private world. Awesome. So
great. That's really, it's service, connections, and experience and knowledge.
Experience and knowledge. If you have a broker that doesn't understand the process, it comes down to something as small as the loan type.
Yep.
You get what I mean? They might put you onto the wrong loan type, and then you're with the wrong lenders, and you're not falling under the right policies, and you're not applicable to the right rates.
Yep.
Then you're just going around in circles. Especially when they take, like when you're dealing with the banks and you have a broker that doesn't ordinarily transact with construction loans and doesn't know the process too well, it is going to be a long process. And I mean, if you have time to wait around and you really like that broker, then that's no problem at all. But yeah, it's
generally,
just,
you're generally right. Time is money, and we don't have time to muck around.
You know, exactly.
The bigger the project, the less time we have.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. 100%.
Awesome. So Jenna, tell us, I love case studies. I love stories, and my audience loves stories. So maybe give us a little story as, you know, an example of, not mentioning any names, of course.
And
you might have, you know, been presented with a client that was in a tricky situation, and then you were able to turn that around really quickly, and the result was incredible. I'd love to hear a bit about that story.
Okay, I think this again falls back on the strength of the panel behind you. I had a couple of clients approach me. Now, they had approval for a couple of developments back in January, February, so beginning of the year. Now, just before COVID, they had the loan offer there. They had everything ready to go for their private finance. And then the lenders withdrew because COVID came and they thought it was risky. So they came to me, they let me know the scenario. There was obviously uncertainty with the client because they were unsure if I could achieve something because they had already had a result and then it was withdrawn from them. So they had a little bit of fear.
Yeah. And actually, if I can jump in for 1 second. So how did they find you in the first place?
They liked me. How did they find me? So I work with someone in association to them. So someone that they were subcontracting introduced them to me.
Perfect. So like, okay. A referral. Yeah, beautiful.
Yes. Great. Yes. So yeah, that's how they came to me. They advised me that they had the loan offers in place just before COVID. Lenders withdrew. Again, I was able to get them a loan offer within 1 day. Wow. And so that's good. Project should start soon.
So that again,
it goes to show the strength of the panel behind you, because you may have an offer, but it can be withdrawn due to an uncertain time period.
And so was that funding sourced through a bit of a hybrid, or was that purely one stream, you know, first tier, second tier, or private, or was it a bit
private. So they had the approval with private, and then private withdrew because they weren't big. There was risk in COVID, so they were unsure. And then I took them through to my private means, and then we were able to get them a loan offer. So it's very satisfying to me when someone comes to me and they go, oh, this was taken away from me. And I go, all right, well, this is something that I can actually facilitate. So it sounds like it.
It
makes me happy.
Is that the most rewarding part of the process for you, when they actually – when you can come back to them and say, I've got the funding? Or is it another part of the process that you like better?
No, the settlement.
The settlement.
The settlement's always the best thing, especially, like, don't get me wrong, I still do home loans, but especially, like, with you have your first homeowners And then they're so excited, and then you're excited with them. It's just sharing the excitement of getting to that stage, and it's finally there. I do have the aftercare service with my clients, though. My clients, they are repeat clients. So I want to make sure that everything's on track for the next release of funds. I'm constantly in contact with my clients. So because I have that large involvement, I just really enjoy how I can help them and working with them. And hopefully they have more projects in the future that I can continue to assist with.
Absolutely. And get lots of referrals and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, that's the key, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So it sounds like you love going on the ride with them, and then you feel that success when they have success, and that's what drives you further.
Yes, of course, of course. And I can't just add it up to me. It's the panel behind me. They're just as important, you know, because if it weren't the cooperation of the lenders that I go to, the work wouldn't be done. There's only so much that I can do on my end. There's only so much I have control of. It is 50% the lender. Yeah. So it's them as well. And I have such large appreciation for the lenders being able to work with me efficiently to get my clients a good result.
Yeah. And I mean, and I can imagine that you're constantly meeting new potential lenders and
constantly.
Some other potential lenders say, look, I think that's enough for us for 6 months or a year. We're fully booked. We're at capacity, and et cetera. So you've always got to keep that pool of connections fresh.
Yes, that's correct. That's correct. But, you know, that's the beauty of having so many different lenders on your panel. Not everything is suitable for everyone because everyone's scenario is different. So you need to find someone that's tailored towards that scenario and tailored to your client's objectives. That's really the beauty of it. Not being restricted to one lender or two lenders, but having different categories of lenders,
it's variety and having the potential to service whatever you need to service, you know. So
of course,
and I broker think, that's the beauty,
of course. And then you've got the whole pre-sales and no pre-sales. That's a major thing, you know, especially with the market now. But there is an increase in pre-sales because of all of the grants that are being given to the newer homes. So that's a positive.
Good. Do you see any, like, what do you foresee changing in this industry in the next 6 to 12 months? Maybe just slightly more lifting of those restrictions, or do you think other things will change as well?
I think there might be. It was quite evident with the second tier. They went back to normal quite fast. I didn't think they would for another year. I think a lot of brokers, when we have conversations, they're like, oh, this is new policy. This is going to be permanent. So it was good to see that recovery. With the banks, it's uncertain. You know, for a big time of COVID, policies were changing every day. I do think, though, that things will go back to normal, but not anytime soon.
And do you find that the way you're working and the way that even everybody else is working from a transactional point of view is different? Like, is there more happening virtually than much more with electronic signature and kind of stuff that's changing now?
Yes. So all the lenders, all the banks, they're starting to implement the electronic signatures of a lot of things, not completely the mortgage docs yet.
Right.
But other than that, everything else is electronic. Like NAB has implemented it. My favorite lender for Resi Loans, Suncorp, has implemented it.
Right.
A lot of the banks, like there too, because I transact with them quite frequently on the Resi end and commercial more so NAB. But it's nice to have those means available. And it also means that you don't have to print things out and then send them and scan them. It eliminates a big headache. There's also an ID application. So you video call the client and you acknowledge them, like you screenshot them, and then they screenshot their 100-point ID, and then you put in a declaration that you have cited it, and then boom, and it's all submitted. So we have online loan processing platforms. So it's all integrated and it all submits, which does make the process significantly faster. I find now, though, people are hesitant to come into the office and vice versa, but it's good that you can have the virtual conversations. But naturally, there are a bunch of people that don't like to do it virtually. They're old school. That's true. Like to meet in person. They like to genuinely know the person that they're dealing with, especially when it comes to finances. It is quite personal information, to say the least.
And you're going to give a lot of people a lot of money. They want to feel that person. They want to look at that person eyeball to eyeball, face to face, to really know, is this person going to be a good person to finance, or is this deal going to go bad or whatever?
Exactly.
Yep, fantastic. But I mean, I love it. I love virtual world. I've gone no printer now for 6 months or so. I'm loving it. I love electronic signatures. So all that kind of stuff, I'm all for it.
It's very good. I remember saying that was the only problem.
Yeah.
With our system is the non-electronic signatures and the non-electronic verification. So that was one fantastic thing that came out of COVID.
Sensational. So Jenna, tell us a bit more about how we can find out about you and actually come, you know, get in contact with you when we need to borrow some money.
Yeah, so feel free to head over to my website or connect with me on LinkedIn. It's Jenna Lee Hamawi. Also, I have put a guide together. For any of you that aren't too familiar with the development finance process, you know, if you don't know what loan type you fall into or what documentation you need or what prerequisites you need, I've actually put a guide together which outlines all of these topics and really provides you with that information. So what I'll do, Darren, I'll give you the link.
Beautiful.
You can link it below and I'll get you to link my website as well. And if you have any questions, just reach out. I'm here to help.
Lovely. Fantastic, Jenna. So thank you so much for being on the show. It's been a fascinating discussion.
Yeah, thank you.
No, even though I'll probably never ever need to come to you to borrow the kind of money that you need, that you're going to lend, I still was really interested to learn about it.
Always good to have a chat, though.
You never know. And who knows who I can refer one day? Some multi-million dollar developer might say, I need some money. And I'll say, I know who to talk to.
Jenna.
Awesome, Jenna. So thanks so much for coming on the show. Really appreciate it. And
thank you for having me.
I'd like to ask my guest at the end of the show, give us one or two points that you think would, you know, people can use straight away and implement to try and, you know, make sure that they optimize their funding process and make it as easy and simple as they possibly can. Any little tricks and tips that you can give us?
Yeah. Do your research and find out what documentation you need and get your documents in order. If you are looking to acquire land though, it is better that you purchase something that already has approvals on it. No. So DA approved, not subject to council approval. And if you don't have the approvals available, do outsource a land planner, because they have the right connections with council. And they can get that approval for you significantly faster than you would because they have those established relationships. So there's some good pointers to get the process started quickly because they're the things that you need beforehand.
Awesome. And are they all in that little document that you're going to send us as well?
Oh, so much more.
Fantastic. Well, Jenna, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting about this on a Friday afternoon.
Yes.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
And for everybody out there, if you're interested in securing some serious finance for your massive projects and developments, talk to Jenna. She has the connections, she has the knowledge, she has the service philosophy, and I think she'd be a fantastic person to talk to. So everybody out there, have a fantastic weekend, and we're going to see you next week for another episode of Playing with Perspective. Thanks again, Jenna.
Thanks, Darren.
Bye for now.
Bye.